Welcome to The Right Focus, a podcast for writers, newbies, and veterans, and everyone in between. We're hosted by M.A. Lee with the assistance of Remy Black and Edie Runes, all from Writers Inc. Books. Our focus is productivity, process, craft, and tools. Each episode lasts as long as it takes to fix a quick dinner, grab a short commute, or take a brisk walk. Resources and links are in the show notes. Visit us at therightfocus.blogspot.com. Now, on to this week's episode. We're back with more advice from pro writers on defeating writer's block. Let's launch straight into business. Barbara Kingsolver, our first professional writer, is a Pulitzer Prize-winning American novelist, essayist, and poet. Her most widely known work is The Poisonwood Bible. Kingsolver has received numerous awards, and each of her books since 1993 has been on the New York Times bestseller list. Kingsolver says, "I learned to produce whether I wanted to or not. It would be easy to say, oh, I have writer's block. Oh, I have to wait for my muse. I don't. Chain that muse to your desk and get the job done." Kingsolver is right on two counts here. First, she produces, whether she wants to write or not. Like journalists, like writers working in the entertainment industry, projects must be completed on deadline. Miss deadlines often enough and, well, editors and directors and producers won't offer up a job where that project was intended to be. They'll hire someone else to fill that hole. Missing those deadlines can be catastrophe to writers, freelance, or on staff. Have readers expecting the next story in the series only to disappoint them? When we promise by such and such a date and don't deliver, we can irk our readers. Promise breakers only hurt themselves. We can always avoid promises, but then we can drop off our reader's radar. Kingsolver's second point is that we do not wait on our muse or for inspiration. The inspiring muse waits on us. Once we start writing, flow will come. We'll sink into the project. We might have to delete the first paragraph or so, or revise those opening words, but the writing will come. And sometimes we discover those first starting words are not as bad as we thought. The American poet William Stafford reminds us of this possibility. Stafford says, "There is no such thing as writer's block for writers whose standards are low enough." Low standards? That's not what we want. Wait a minute, though. Stafford explains what he means. "It sounds really bad," he says, "but it's true. Writer's block is really that inner critic that says to us, this is junk. I can't write today. I'm not inspired. Or, nothing I write is interesting today. Therefore, when we set the bar too high, it is impossible to be creative. We must learn to turn off that inner critic and give ourselves room to explore." Since publishing his first book, Scott McCormick, children's author, has published three more books in his Mr. Pants series, as well as a slew of Audible originals, including a YA fantasy novel called The Dragon Squisher, a series of five history books on Audible, and a contemporary middle grades comedy called Mutually Assured Detention, which was selected as a best of Audible for 2022. He says, "My first serious job was in public relations, which meant writing a lot of press releases. This was not the kind of writing I was aspiring towards, but it paid the bills. Then I worked for a manufacturing company, working my way up from writing newsletters to eventually becoming their senior copywriter. In that role, I wrote all their catalogs and website copy and ads, and basically everything else. That job was excellent training because it forced me to find new ways to be creative about the most boring things you can imagine. That job also gave me excellent training for writing on a deadline. As a result, I love writing on a deadline and actively dislike not having one. I used to tell my colleagues to always give me a tight deadline and to lie to me if the project didn't have one. Never tell me there's no rush. That just means you won't ever get it. But if you tell me you need it Tuesday, you'll have it Tuesday, no matter how long it is. How many writers started with writing jobs that had nothing to do with the kind of writing they wanted to do? I would say the vast majority who have become long-term published writers. This reminds us that very few writers are overnight successes. They learned their trade and the importance of a steady process, a devotion to writing, the necessity of deadlines, and the creation of short-term, mid-term, and long-term goals. McCormick did the best writing he could with that early job, which formed a great working habit. Remember, he said, he was forced to find creative ways to express boring things. Third, he likes a tight deadline. He gets to the project and doesn't fiddle-faddle around, which is allowing distractions and disruptions. He also had this to say. Most professional authors will tell you they never suffer from writer's block. Well, that's nice for them. But as someone who does suffer, I've worked out a few tricks over the years that usually help me. First, go for a walk and make sure it's the most boring walk in the world, where you can pay no attention to where you're going and where you're not going to be distracted by other people or beautiful vistas. You need to stand up, step away from the computer, get your blood pumping, and let your mind wander. Don't take your dog for a walk. Don't listen to podcasts or music unless you're using it to tune out the world. I like to listen to Miles Davis's Fusion records because they're high energy, and there's an almost completely lack of melody to distract me. Just get up and go. Sometimes it only takes a few dozen steps before I've solved the problem. If you're still stuck, try writing a random scene with your characters, set in the most unlikely setting possible. Writing a space opera? Have your characters go bowling. Writing a romance? Have your characters play laser tag. Have your villain and hero go to the supermarket or play Twister. You'll be amazed at how this exercise can give you a ton of new ideas about this project, help you understand your characters better, or even give you an idea for a new book. Most importantly, this exercise will get you to having fun writing again, which is the most important thing. I've always known I wanted to be a writer, he said, and over the years I have tried my hand at writing everything except a cookbook. I've tried poetry, songs, journalism, sketch comedy, you name it. It never occurred to me to try children's books until I had kids of my own. And even after trying my hand at it, it still took me a few years until I found my voice. And even after publishing my first books, I still had my ups and downs. But I kept going and learning, and I kept trying new approaches to writing. And today I am a full-time author, and I wouldn't trade it for the world. One thing McCormick reminds us, often true writers, we are continuous learners. Now, McCormick had a lot to say about writer's block. McCormick ends by saying numerous writers have said they avoid the topic of writer's block at all cost, as if mentioning the words alone would open them to the monster. Philip Pullman has the best view of writer's block. Pullman is an English writer. He has the fantasy trilogy, His Dark Materials. In 2008, The Times named Pullman one of the 50 greatest British writers since 1945. Pullman says, writer's block, a lot of howling nonsense would be avoided if, in every sentence containing the word writer, that word was taken out and the word plumber was substituted, and the result examined for the sense it makes. Do plumbers get plumber's block? What would you think of a plumber who used that as an excuse not to do any work that day? The fact is that writing is hard work, and sometimes you don't want to do it, and you can't think of what to write next, and you're fed up with the whole damn business. Do you think plumbers don't feel like that about their work from time to time? Of course there will be days when the stuff is not flowing freely. What you do then is make it up. I like the reply of the composer Shostakovich to a student who complained that he couldn't find a theme for his second movement. Never mind the theme, Shostakovich said. Just write the movement. Writer's block is a condition, Pullman continues, that affects amateurs and people who aren't serious about writing. So is the opposite, namely inspiration, which amateurs are also very fond of. Putting it another way, a professional writer is someone who writes just as well when they're not as inspired as when they are. Pullman is very blunt, but it's truthful advice. And he steps on a lot of toes by reminding our privileged selves that most people do not like their jobs and just have to get on with it. I had many days in my old job when I didn't want to do it. That job, like this one of writing, did have many rewards. Some parts were sheer drudgery and misery, but so can be certain writing tasks. At least plumbers don't actually court the goddess Fortuna or Lady Luck, because the writers who break out and climb above the rest of us have somehow won the benefices of Lady Luck. Choosing to be a pro writer, as Pullman reminds us, as McCormick reminds us, does not rely on courting the muse. We can find ways to revise the worst words into something fresh, interesting, true, rather than a gimmick. This segment on pro writers speaking about writer's block concludes with Charlene Harris, a cozy mystery writer who broke out with the help of Lady Luck through her Suki Stackhouse series adapted to the TV series True Blood. She says, I think writer's block is a way the brain has of telling you you've taken a false step. I think you need to wait a day or two, then start reading your work from the beginning, and the false step should become apparent. This is a truth that I've discovered with my own writing. I've taken a misstep, and I have to figure out what I've missed before I go forward. With two separate novels, I reached 50 pages or so into the story before I couldn't advance. One project rolled for 2 solid months before I discovered the problem. A secondary character needed to become one of the protagonists. I didn't want to accept that. The novel would then have 3 separate protagonists. When I backed up and wrote a couple of scenes to insert early in the novel, I then realized a few other scenes that had dragged along became interesting from his point of view. In the other novel, I reached 50 or 70 pages before I hit a stoppage. That wasn't a necessary character insertion. That was a character rebelling against her name. A very simple problem, but caused a total stoppage. In reading those chapters over, I discovered that I wasn't using that character's name at all. Deliberate avoidance. I tinkered with a few names and finally settled on one close but not similar, picking Vivienne over Victoria. Then my brain opened up. That's the kind of quick and easy change that we writers like to have. We have a lot of methods to recharge our brains, a lot of suggestions to sidestep a wall and start writing again. The key to remember is we can defeat writer's block, and we certainly will. In the next segment, we're exploring how the highly prolific Earl Stanley Gardner handled writer's block and generating ideas. Gardner is best known for his stories about Perry Mason. The right focus turns its lens on every writer's secret monster, writer's block. We say the mantra writer's block doesn't exist, but something more than simple disruptions and distractions can interfere with our writing, creating insurmountable walls. The right focus in the series Defeat Writer's Block analyzes the three most common types of writer's block and offers solutions to overcome and defeat this monster looming over the writer's desk. The best solution, though, is Leo Tolstoy's mantra, "No days without lines," nulla dies sine linea. Make that your own mantra. Information for this series comes from host M.A. Lee's guidebook, Think Like a Pro, a new advent for writers, showcasing 7 lessons to change your perspective from hobby writer to pro writer. See the show notes for links. Thanks for listening to The Right Focus, a podcast for writers at all levels, hosted by M.A. Lee from Writers Inc. Books, assisted by Remy Black and Edie Runes. Our focus is productivity, process, craft, and tools. Music is licensed through Audio Jungle, called Background Music Loop. Its creator is Alexander Polishchuk, known on Audio Jungle as Plastic 3. The music comes in different iterations. Show notes and resource links for this and other episodes can be found at therightfocus.blogspot.com. Write to us at linkbooks@aol.com when you have questions, comments, and speculations. We will try to answer you as quickly as possible. By the way, we will not mind your email address. That's rude. If you find value in our content, share with your writing friends or write a review. We're small beans here without the advertising budget of the big peeps, and you can make a difference. And whatever occurs, right on.